the broadcast of Crosstown Church of Memphis. We are a church that is Christ-centered, diversity-driven, and community-committed. A church that's bringing people together, sharing God's message of hope, love, and service. We seek to love God, love people, and serve the city. We welcome you to our broadcast with Pastor Byron Fitzpatrick.
Okay, so like I said, we are in part three of this message or this series, which is titled Marching Orders. And today's lesson, or the subtitle of today's lesson, is for those of you that are taking notes, it's called Just Do It. You know, this is going to be the last lesson in this series, and so I've been trying to get out of the book of Joshua, and every time I try to get out of the book of Joshua, it seems like God just takes me right back to it. So maybe today is the conclusion of Joshua. We'll just have to wait and see. We do have Easter next week, so I know I won't, well, I ain't gonna say I know, but we do have Easter next week, so it's unlikely that I'll be teaching in the book of Joshua, but who knows? God does what he wants to do, and when I get instructions from him, or when I feel like I get instructions from him, I just follow and I obey. But today, the subtitle of the message is called Just Do It. You know, many of you are probably very familiar with Nike's. Let's just straighten this out real quick, okay? There's a debatable issue that's at hand. And that is the correct pronunciation of N-I-K-E, the company. Is it Nike or is it Nike? And the correct answer is Nike. It's not Nike. And I believe, because Black folks have a way of just taking over and changing stuff up and making it their own or making it whatever. I think Black folks is the one who pegged Nike. But the correct pronunciation is actually Nike. Anyway, the company Nike, years ago, they started this campaign called Just Do It. Many of you are very familiar with this campaign. And it actually started back in 1988. In 1988, Nike was on the verge of losing its number one spot as the world's leading athletic company. Guess who was competing with them? Guess who was their rival at the time? For those of you that are old enough to remember this, back in 1988, there was another athletic company that was on the scenes that was, excuse me, that was right there with Nike, and that company was Reebok. You guys probably remember some of the Reebok campaigns and stuff like that, and a lot of the famous people, especially in the hip-hop era, there was a lot of people that jumped on the Reebok bandwagon, and Reebok was just, you know, exploding, taking over. Well, Nike was on the verge of losing that number one spot as the world's leading athletic company. And so they were trying to do something, as a lot of major companies do. They have to put forth a huge campaign, a marketing campaign, so that they can just get back, so that they don't lose their spot, or so that they can, you know, recreate themselves, or whatever it is they're trying to do. So in other words, they don't want to lose their relevancy. They don't want to lose their customers. And so losing their relevancy and losing the customers, they end up losing money. So they hired this company to come in, a marketing company to come in and to help them with this campaign to do something so that they can, you know, continue to move forward. Well, check this out. Something that you didn't know. There was a guy by the name of Dan Wideman. He was a co-founder of this advertising agency, and he came in. Nike hired his company to come in and to help them to compete with their rival, which was Reebok. And he came up with this slogan, which is called Just Do It. And that slogan till this day, so this started back in 1988 with Nike, but till this day, it still remains Nike's number one slogan. It still remains a huge part, one of their major pushes in their marketing campaign that they do. And so it's still alive today. So that means that this little three words has been so powerful and so meaningful to their company that they have stuck with it. And that is Just Do It. Here's something that you didn't know, and here's something that I didn't know. Guess where Dan Wideman got this slogan from? You know, Dan Wideman got this slogan, or he got the idea of this slogan from a murderer. There was this guy, his name was Gary Gilmore. Yeah, I'm sure you guys are surprised. So now when you hear Just Do It, y'all gonna think murderer, all right? But I'm sure this guy, Gary Gilmore, he was convicted of killing in 1976. He killed a man and he killed a woman. During his conviction, he was being sentenced, and he demanded that he was to be executed. He demanded this. Now, during this time, for those of you that are old enough, and I'm old enough, but I was a kid, so I didn't pay attention to a lot of this stuff. But during this time in the United States, there was this huge political issue about capital punishment. A lot of states had began to do away with capital punishment. They was reviving their laws on and stuff like that. So capital punishment was beginning to slowly move away or slowly kind of disappear. And then here, Gary Gilmore, because he killed two people, he was convicted, found guilty, and he demanded that he be executed. So what that happened is that actually started the talks about capital punishment here in the United States all over again. And Gary Gilmore, he actually gained international attention because he was demanding that he be executed. So during his execution in 1977, or 78, I believe it was, I'm sorry. During his execution, he was asked for his last words. You know, they kill folks, right? They say, "You have any last words?" And Gary responded, "Just do it." Gary responded at his execution, "Just do it." Why did he do that? You know, this slogan, before I get to why did he do that, this slogan, Nike took on this slogan, "Just do it." And Dan Weidman got the idea from this convicted murderer who was demanding that he be executed, and his last words was, "Just do it." And so at first, Nike and their executives, they were not cool with this. They were not buying it. Like, no, there's no way that we can use the last words of a convicted murderer who's going to be executed in our campaign. We can't do that. But anyway, they trusted Dan. They trusted Weidman. And so they actually took it on. And when they took it on, it blew up. It exploded. "Just do it." Just took off. Everybody grabbed hold of it. And Nike just skyrocketed, you know, their number one position as the global leader in athletic gear and the athletic company. They just took off and they just killed everybody. Almost made Reebok disappear. Reebok almost went into bankrupt. They almost just went off the face of the earth. But it was very successful. This slogan single-handedly secured Nike's number one spot in the global market. "Just do it." Ton, I don't know if Johnny is somewhere near. I don't see Janelle's on here. But I want to say this to you guys. I know when we first started Crosstown Church, one of the things that y'all said to me, why don't you give us a scripture up front? You always like 10, 15 minutes, 30 minutes into your message before you even give us the first scripture. Well, I'm going to give you the scripture because I'm about 5 minutes at least into this, maybe 10 minutes into this. I'm going to give you the scripture. We're going to pick up where we left off last week in the book of Joshua chapter 6. And the scripture that we left off last week, we're going to pick up with the very next scripture, okay? Which is going to be the book of Joshua chapter 6, verse 8 through 10. That's where we're going to be picking up. So if you're taking notes, if you have your Bible in front of you, go ahead and go get there. I'll get to it in just a moment, all right? But I'm not there just yet. Here we go. So "just do it." Why is this simple slogan so popular? Why has this simple slogan just jumped and just took Nike to this level that nobody can even touch, nobody can even compete with, and has lasted from 1988 till today? It's still strong, it's still powerful, it's still motivating, it's still moving, it's still popular to this day. These three simple words have so much meaning, and they carry a powerful message. While facing the firing squad during his execution, Gary Gilmore was saying this. He was saying, "Enough with this talking. If you're going to kill me, then go ahead and kill me." He said, "Stop all this talking, man. We ain't got time for that. I told y'all a long time ago, just kill me, just execute me. Stop the talking. If you're going to do it, just do it." All right? I want to focus on two reasons why "just do it" is so meaningful. It's so meaningful. Number one is this. Too much talking is cheap. You guys have heard the saying, talk is cheap, right? Well, all talk is not cheap. Talk is necessary in the right place, in the right time, in the right context when you're trying to accomplish things. Talking is necessary because it is a vital form of our communication. But I would like to change that saying from talk is cheap to saying too much talking is cheap, all right? We spend so much time talking and very little time actually doing the things that we talk about. You know, all of us can recount conversations that we've been in with one another, you know, with friends, with coworkers, and you know, neighbors or whoever. You know, we engage in these conversations. We talk about these things. We talk about what we're going to do, what we're not going to do, what we want to do. We talk about what we used to do. We talk about all this stuff and all these things we talk about. We have a goal of moving forward. We have a goal of change. We have a goal of, you know, making something good happen or making something different happen. We talk about the bad stuff. We talk about the good stuff. But the reality is we talk about all this stuff, and so often we do nothing about it. We just talk. You know, we have to realize that all this talking, too much talking, is just cheap. If you're gonna do it, just do it. With all the talking that we do, with all the time that we spend talking, if we were to take some of that time and actually do the work, we could accomplish a whole lot more. So just say, you know, you put a percentage on it. It's up to you. I mean, how you feel. But a lot of times we spend 90% talking and 10% working or 10% actually doing. Maybe we need to flip that. Maybe we need to talk 10% and spend 10% of the time talking and 90% of the time doing. Knight said, listen, stop the talk. Talk is cheap. If you're going to do it, just do it. If you're going to win, just win. If you're going to compete, just compete. If you're going to run, just run. Shut your mouth and just run, all right? So here, the book of James chapter 4, verse 14, it says, how do you know what your life will be like tomorrow? Let me say that one more time. How do you know what your life will be like tomorrow? Your life is like the morning fog. It's here a little while, then it's gone. Which means that time is limited. Time is limited. If you're going to do something, you need to do it while you still have breath in your lungs. You need to do it while you're still healthy. You need to do it while you can still function and do the things that you need to do. You need to do it while you have the ability to be able to do it, because you sit around and we talk so much and we're not getting anything done. And before we know it, we done looked up and our life has passed by just like the fog. We look up and day is gone and night is here. You know, there's another scripture in the Bible that says, work while it's day because night will soon come. We need to work and we need to just do it. Amen. Talk is cheap. Too much talking is cheap. I'm sorry, rephrase that. Too much talking is cheap. Stop talking about it and just do it. Amen. Somebody say, just do it. Number two, here's the number two reason why that statement or that slogan that Nike uses, just do it. Here's the number two reason why that slogan is so meaningful and so powerful. When Gary Gilmore was standing before the firing squad and they was about to execute him, and they asked him, do you have any last words? And he responded by saying, just do it. What was he saying? He said, look, too much talking is weak. So too much, number one, too much talking is cheap. Number two, too much talking is weak. So the number two reason why these three words are so powerful and so meaningful is because too much talking is weak. The book of Joshua, picking up where we left off last week. So just to bring us up to the current events in this story, in this event that took place with Joshua and the nation of Israel. They have received their instructions and now they are at the brink. They are receiving their marching orders and they're getting ready to approach this city called Jericho. I'm not going to go back everything else. You guys know, I'll know the story because we've talked about it a lot, but bringing us up to this point right now, here they are getting ready. They received some marching orders. They're getting ready to implement. They're getting ready to carry out these marching orders. The marching orders that they received at this very moment was to march around the city of Jericho, march around the walls on the outside of the city where they couldn't get inside because the people inside the Jericho was so scared and so afraid of the nation of Israel that they locked up the entire city, locked up the gates, and they wouldn't let nobody in or nobody out. They put their military on high alert. I think that's level red alert. They had them stationed up on the walls everywhere at all the gates. They made sure that they were so afraid of the nation of Israel, they locked the city down. So the nation of Israel, they received their march orders to march around the entire city one time for 6 days. Walk around the city, march around the city, march around the city one time a day, all right? Then on the seventh day, they were to march around the city for not just one time, but march around the entire city seven times. I don't know how many miles that was around the city of Jericho, but to march around a whole city, just think about the city of Memphis, all right? And cities are not small, cities are large. Just think about marching around the city of Memphis. Do you think you can march around the city of Memphis in one day? I tell you what, I don't know how fast they was walking, but they had to be moving, all right? To walk around, to make it around a whole city in one day. Now think about it. On the seventh, they got to do it seven times. You got to walk around the whole city of Memphis seven times. Man, they were booking. I'm sure they were speed walking. We saw a dude the other day. Yeah. He was walking down the street, boy, and my man was speed walking, boy. He was I'm sure they were speed walking, going around that city, trying to make seven times around there. But here, in the book of Joshua, here we are. They're marching around the city. They received their marching order to march around the city of Jericho. All right? And here, Joshua chapter 6, verse 8 through 10, it says, after Joshua spoke to the people, the seven priests with the ram's horn, hang on here just a second, guys. Just a second. Pause for just a second here. Okay, so in verse number 6, or chapter 6, verse 8 through 10 of the book of Joshua, after Joshua spoke to the people, the seven priests with the ram's horns started marching in the presence of the Lord, blowing the horns as they marched with the ark of the Lord's covenant following behind them. Some of the armed men marched in front of the priests and some behind the ark as the priests continually blew the horns. Listen to this, verse number 10. Do not shout. Do not even talk, Joshua commanded them. Not a single word from any of you until I tell you to shout. On my command, then shout. Joshua, in the verse number 10, he gave them some orders. He told them to march around the city. Okay, now they're on their last day of marching around the city. And this day, they're marching around the city seven times. Seven times going around the whole city. Joshua commands them. Now, this is not just the seven priests. This is not just the armed men, their military. This is the entire nation of Israel. We're talking about thousands of people. Men, women, boys, girls, goats, cows, dogs, cats, everything. They got the whole nation marching around the city seven times. And Joshua commands them, he says, when you go around this city, as we march around this city, he said, do not speak one word. Do not say one word. We're going to march around this city, and there's not going to be a peep out of us. Listen, we've already received our instructions. And now this is our marching orders to march around the city and do not speak a word. Not say one word. And here, I want us to ask ourselves a question. Why do you believe that Joshua told them not to speak? Why do you think Joshua told them not to say one word? He did not want them to talk because he understood the dangers of their talking could have, what the dangers of them talking and how that could impact their mission. He knew that if they were to be talking, that that could somehow impact their mission. So they've already received their instructions. They now have their marching orders. He tells them, do not say a word. We know what to do. We're supposed to march around the city 7 times. At the end of the 7th time marching around the city, we're supposed to shout. And on my command, when I say shout, then that's when we shout. Until then, nothing. No word. Joshua knew that if they were to talk, that their talking could impact the mission. Have you ever been in a place where you were about to do something? You were about to take on a new venture in your life, maybe go back to school and you know, to take your education to the next level. Maybe you have a business venture or something that you're thinking about doing or you're about to do. Maybe there's something in your life, maybe a financial decision that you're about to make. You know, you're about to make a decision to do something, and that's something that you're about to do is going to take you to the next place. It's going to take you to the next level. And you made the decision. I don't want to talk to nobody about this just yet. I don't want to talk to nobody about this yet. I'm going to keep it to myself right now. If I do talk to somebody, I'm going to talk to somebody that I know I can trust 100% with this information to keep it confident. Not to tell nobody, because I'm not ready for this to be birthed just yet. I'm not ready for this baby to come out of me just yet. I need to carry this baby until it's time for this baby to be born. I don't want everybody to know. You know, it's just like a woman trying to hide their pregnancy. You know what I mean? Well, not just like it, but you know, there are times where we are dealing with certain things in our lives and we're gonna about to take on something, about to move forward, about to make an advancement, and we just don't tell nobody. Why don't we tell people? We don't tell people because we don't want them to feed us with some negativity. We don't tell people because we don't want them to discourage us. We don't tell people because we don't want them to plant doubt in our minds. That's why we don't tell them. Because soon as somebody plants some doubt in our mind, that doubt is going to start messing with us. As soon as they start to discourage us, then we're going to start asking ourselves questions that we don't need to be asking ourselves. If your mind is made up to do it, just do it. If you've already received some instructions, you already received some direction, and you're now at a place where you actually begin to put this stuff in action, you're now at a place where you're beginning to actually march, you've got your marching orders, you're now implementing the plans that you have put together, and now all of a sudden, now people want to feed you with some doubt and discouragement? Nah. No. We have to be very careful with our talking sometimes. Joshua knew that if they were to be talking, he knew that it could impact their mission. Just think about all them people marching around the city 7 times of Jericho. And then somebody like, man, I don't get this, man. I don't understand this, man. Joshua crazy, man. Joshua done lost his mind. This don't make no sense. Because remember I talked about last week, the way God do things ain't normal. I mean, if we're going to take the city of Jericho, why we got to march around the city? We got to march around the city every day, 1 time, and then on 7th day, we got to march around 7 times. What's going to happen then? Well, guess what? God told Joshua what was going to happen, but Joshua didn't tell nobody else. The entire nation of Israel, they did not know what was going to happen. They didn't know that those walls were going to come tumbling down. Joshua knew because God told him. Nobody else knew. So in their mind, they're thinking, this does not make sense. If we're going to take the city, let's just take the city. Let's just run and just bust the gates down. God said, no. Joshua, don't say a word. Because he knew that if they were to speak, then somebody could discourage them and somebody could plant seeds of discord. Somebody could plant seeds of doubt and impact their mission. Joshua did not want anybody planting seeds of doubt or discouragement about what God had already instructed him to do. He wanted to make sure that they all stayed on one accord. He understood that their talking could weaken their assignment. Talk, too much talking is weak. When Nike grabbed a hold of this slogan, just do it, you're saying talk. Too much talking is cheap. They're saying too much talking is weak. Why are we sitting around talking about it? We can talk about it. Talking about it is necessary, but at some point, you got to do the work. At some point, you got to implement. At some point, there's got to be some action if you're going to win. And Nike is all about winning. They're all about winning. They invest billions of dollars everywhere to win. They invest in their own product. They invest in athletes. They invest in stadiums. They invest, you name it. They invest in it. Why? To win. They see an athlete out there, you better believe Nike's looking at them like, okay, this person right here, they have to just do it in them. They got to just do it in them. Let's go invest in them. They want to win. They want to win. They ready to put some action to what's been talked about. They working. Let's go invest in them. You know, it's time for us to receive our marching orders. And for a couple weeks now, I've been saying this, it's time for us to receive our marching orders. You might ask the question, what's our marching orders? I haven't specifically given you our marching orders. As Crosstown Church of Memphis, starting at the beginning of the year, God has given us some instructions. I'm not gonna go back over all those instructions. Those instructions, you guys know what they are. But here is our marching orders. Our marching orders is to just do it. We've talked about it, and we've talked about it long enough. Now it's time to just do it. The instructions that God has given us, starting at the beginning of the year, God is letting us know, now it's time to just do it. We have received our instructions. Now it's time to stop talking about it and be about it.
We hope you enjoyed today's message. If this message was a blessing to you and you would like to support this ministry in a financial way, you can donate electronically by texting to 84321 and enter the dollar amount you'd like to donate in the message area. Or you can mail a check or money order to Crosstown Church of Memphis, P.O. Box 40981, Memphis, Tennessee, 38104. We invite you to visit our website at www.wearecrosstown.com for more information about our church. Join us for our next broadcast on Facebook and YouTube next Sunday at 10 a.m. Be blessed and be better.